welcome to a brand new season of the podcast Multifaithful. My name is Ari Lennis, and I am with the Office of Global Spiritual Life at NYU, and we are beginning our second year of the podcast. We are really excited about all the amazing people who are going to be on for the second year. And so we thank those of you who listened to the first year. If you haven't, please go back and listen to some of the old ones in our feed. But for starting off this year, we are joined by two people who I've gotten to work really closely with in the last few months. Supreet Kaur, the Executive Director of the Sikh Coalition, and an NYU alum. Woohoo to NYU. And Vishwajit Singh, a really cool cartoonist and performance artist based in New York City, is going to tell you a little bit about some of the stuff he's been doing. We were really excited to have him in the podcast. We're also going to talk a little bit about an art exhibit featuring different pictures of Sikh men and women from across the United States to explain to us a little bit about what Sikh Americans look like. If more information about that will be at the end of the podcast, including the exact location and everything, but you can find anything you need to online. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Multifaithful, and now to the conversation. I am joined today by Supreet Kaur, the Executive Director of the Sikh Coalition. Supreet, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
And I am joined by Vishwajit, the aforementioned, well, as I will say in the intro, the Sikh Captain America, but more accurately known as a cartoonist, writer, and performance artist based in New York City. Thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
So, when we first met a couple weeks ago and we were talking about the Sikh community in New York City, and I feel like often when people hear of the Sikh community, the story begins knowing that after 9/11, one of the first hate crimes that happened in the United States was directed towards a Sikh man.
Right.
The Sikh community has been in the United States and has history in the United States. It's obviously a lot longer than 15 years. So could you maybe give our listeners who don't know much about the Sikh community in the United States a little bit of background?
Sure.
And sort of how long community's been here, how many people there are, and sort of give people some working knowledge to have a better handle on this.
Sure, cool. Well, it's so awesome to be here. Thanks. The Sikh American community has been in the United States for over 130 years. Sikhs are actually the fifth largest world religion, with over 25 million followers globally. It's estimated that the floor here in the U.S. is about 500,000, so about 500,000. And the first wave of immigration was actually, like I said, about 130 years ago to the West Coast. Folks came to California, came to Washington State, were engaged in building the railroad, in the timber industry, and actually found the land, the very fertile land in the central and imperial valleys of California, to be much like the land in Punjab, where many Sikhs cultivate and farm. And so you have a lot of farmers in the community in those early days as well as now. And actually, fun fact, the largest okra, peach, pistachio farmers in America are all Sikhs.
Huh.
Pretty
that
cool.
That is so interesting.
So cool. And in fact, the first Asian American to serve in Congress, Dalip Singh Sond, was a Sikh. Huh. And he was from California. So we had a second wave of immigration that was quite large to the East Coast, 50s, 60s, and 70s. A lot of folks coming on scholarship, sort of a brain drain, if you would. Mm-hmm. And then in subsequent decades, we've seen even bigger waves of immigration, including family members as well as others coming on their own. And so you find Sikh Americans in all walks of life. You find them as cartoonists, as we have one here. You find them in the medical profession. You find them in the service industry, in farming, entrepreneurs, all over the U.S.
So why do you think, I mean, I'm sure some of it has to do with just our familiarity in the United States, but you mentioned the Sikh community is the fifth largest religion in the world.
Yeah.
And yet I do religion workshops all the time at NYU, and a good percentage of the students have never heard of the religion, but everyone's familiar with Judaism, right? And being based
right.
in New York City, you know, that makes sense, even though the Sikh community globally is significantly larger than the Jewish community. So how much of your work in activism has to start from like a very elemental place, almost like, okay, this is sort of the back, this is where we're coming.
This is who we are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think that quite a bit of our work is right there. And I think it's because relative to the population here in the U.S., we're quite small. And because the ways of immigration have been larger in numbers more recently, mm-hmm. you know, most immigrant communities are sort of fighting for their livelihood or are trying to establish themselves and raise their children in a way that feels both true to American ideals as well as true to the traditions of the countries that they come from. So I think it's taken the community nationally a little bit of time to get to a place where investments could be made. Right. And to understand the American system and how do you systemically educate 300 million people about the world's fifth largest religion. Yeah, it takes a little know-how, it takes a little time and some effort. So I think we have quite a bit to do there. And I think the events of 9/11 sharpened the community's awareness of just how critical that was. You know, Sikhism is the only faith that requires adherents to keep their hair unshorn. And requires men, and it's optional for women, to wear turbans. So 99% of the people you see in America wearing turbans are Sikhs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the B-roll we see on TV and the stuff that we read post 9/11 does not lead us to that assumption.
Right.
And so we're having to work pretty hard to educate the public and provide that counter-narrative that is much more true to reality.
Right. So there is nothing more American than big budget superhero movies. And I don't know if you've been cast yet.
Not yet.
But you are, I think, pretty well known at this point as the Sikh Captain America. Can you tell us how you came to that idea? Because when I was looking at it, and I heard about it for a while, even before we did this podcast, I just thought it was such a funny and clever way to address some of these stereotypes.
Yeah, so I mean, the idea for me to dress up as Captain America was not my own. It was a photographer's idea. But I, as a cartoonist, I mean, I became a cartoonist in post 9/11. Unfortunately, that was my spark. So a lot of times, tragedies open doors that, you know, lead to things, you know, better things at times, meaning communities coming together or you finding solutions to challenges. Mm-hmm. So for me, I happened to see an editorial cartoon after not too long after 9/11 that featured a Sikh man, which you don't happen to see a lot of Sikh men or women in cartoons. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was like a light bulb moment, which took some weeks. And basically, a few months after 9/11, I started cartooning, basically sketching Sikh men and women. Fast forward 10 years, I went to my first trip to New York City Comic Con. And I was thinking, okay, well, how do I sort of create a little splash or at least get some attention beyond the fact that I look like how I look? And there's hundreds and thousands of cartoonists from big studios, Sony, to small guys like me at the time who went there. So the first Captain America movie had come out that year. This is like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had this vision in my head. I usually dream in beard and turban. That's how I sort of come up with my ideas. So I'm like, well, Captain America can have a turban and a beard. Why not? And he's going to fight intolerance.
It's awesome.
Which is not a strange concept. I mean, a lot of superheroes kind of do that. We just don't use that word.
Right.
That's right.
But they're fighting intolerance of myriad, you know, forms and shapes.
That's right.
So, but when you see a turban superhero saying that, I think a lot of people clue into, okay, he's probably talking about racism and things like that. So I created a poster and just as a marketing ploy, and it worked. I mean, people loved it. They came up to me. And most of these people didn't know who Sikhs are, but that started conversation. That was my whole point. Look, you know, let's talk. And there was a photographer in passing who basically said, maybe next year, Vishwajit, you should come back dressed up as Captain America. And I actually said no. That was my first response. It was end of conversation because I just could never envision myself being a superhero. And secondly, really donning a skin tight uniform. I'm a skinny guy. Podcast listeners cannot see that right now. And I've had body image issues all my life. I've been teased for being skinny. So I'm like, no way, it's not going to happen. But 10 months after that, the Milwaukee massacre happened at a Gurdwara. That hit me really hard. Like many other Sikhs, I just felt it could be me. So I wrote an op-ed piece in Seattle Times making the case. We need a new superhero, comic superhero, who can be Jewish, who can be Black, Hispanic, and Sikh. Fiona Abood, the photographer, read the piece, and she basically emailed me saying, hey, would you reconsider your decision? And I did. Took some time, but I agreed to do it.
So what was more terrifying, standing in the middle of New York City in a spandex costume, or random people walking up to you, clearly ready to talk, and you having no idea what's going to come out of their mouth?
The former. Because for me, it's in my head. I mean, I already have this notion that I have body image issues, and I just, I felt naked. I mean, I was like, oh my God, I mean, what am I doing here? But what happened is people's response just, that changed everything. So I'm like, okay, they're not treating me as, oh my God, this guy is this skinny, horrible looking guy. They were just like, wow, this is really cool. Can we take a photo with you? So I had police officers, fire department officials. I got pulled into weddings.
Tourists.
I mean, it was like somebody had put me in a parallel universe, and people just saw me differently, except two young men who did call me a terrorist.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a minute, so are you calling Captain America a terrorist? And then they just profusely apologized, and I did tell them, you know, who I was. And they happened to be Hispanic. I mean, but that's, you know, where... I discovered that day that you can take an imaginary fictional character out of our history and somehow start these conversations about what it means to be American or what an American should look like.
Right. I mean, it's a brilliant idea, and I'm curious. So you seem to be implying that most of the people who came up to you had incredibly positive reactions. So was that the, I mean, you've now done it in more than one location. You recently did it at the Republican National Convention, which... could be a place that maybe is not the same population as New York City. So I'm curious what are the different reactions you've gotten in different locations?
Yeah, so I mean, I did this in New York, and I thought this was the first and last time. It's a photo shoot done, but some of the photographs were released by the photographer. I wrote a piece writing how amazing it was. It was one of the most amazing days of my life. And that went viral. So I've been in New York City a few more times after that, upstate New York, Mississippi, Kansas, Los Angeles, different settings, universities, museums, and the last one you mentioned, Cleveland, downtown Cleveland, at the RNC convention. So I was there for a whole week. It was an invitation from a writer, cartoonist, saying, hey, I'm getting a lot of cartoonists to come and engage people and respond. And I went there as a cartoonist, but I took my Captain America alter ego with me, and I spent 4 days, 3 days actually, dressed up as Captain America. It was weird. It was our first convention that I went to, and they're like carnivals. They're like theater. So I, believe it or not, I mean, I went there thinking, okay, this might be partly a dangerous place for somebody like me to be there with my turban and beard and with so much sort of preparation that everybody had done, oh my God, there's going to be trouble. It turned out, I mean, almost nobody even sort of gave me the feeling that I was not welcome there.
That's great.
That was weird. But there was a lot of misogyny there. There was a lot of hate towards Hillary Rodham Clinton. There was a lot of... There was racism there. I mean, there was weird sort of bigotry in ways. But somehow, I think in uniform, I confused people. Mm-hmm. So we started having conversations about it. It was odd. I think I fit into that sort of carnival as another character.
Right.
but the conversations that I had with people, you know, they were disturbing to the extent that people were okay that as a Sikh, few who found out who I was, that was okay. But if you were not Sikh, if you were Arab, a Muslim, then that's not...
You think you would have gotten a different reaction?
Yeah, and I had people who were trying to convince me that I should you know, be supportive of Donald Trump and his candidacy. And not only that, but I should have issues with illegal immigrants. I should have issues with Muslims and Arabs coming into the U.S. So yeah, that was something that I knew was going to happen. It's just how it happened was weird.
Right. So using the visual arts as a way to increase representation of a group is obviously a very powerful way to do it. And it's occurring to me as we're talking that within pop culture and media, I feel like we don't see a lot of Sikhs in the media, but I know that recently,
not yet,
but I know recently The Daily Show actually did a segment, and so I think there's a bubbling more, and I'm curious if that's had an impact on your work at the Coalition, and if that has helped raise the profile a little bit and help push the Sikh community into the forefront in a way that you can have a larger impact.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the Daily Show piece. We worked with the producers on that piece.
It was a great piece.
It was great, and they really got it.
Yeah.
They got the community. They got the issues. They obviously get comedy.
Yeah.
So I think it came together in a way that did educate millions of Americans about who Sikhs are and what our ideals and values are. And I think that's great. And this is a little bit along the lines of what we were discussing earlier about what does it take to educate the general public in a way in which they can digest the information. I mean, one of the most brilliant aspects, I think, of Captain Sikh America is that it's disarming. in a way that makes the conversation accessible. Whereas a conversation about what does an American look like could be highly charged and volatile at the onset.
Yeah.
Somehow seeing Bishop Jeith in his spandex outfit and his shield smiling so approachable, you want to take a selfie. You kind of want to learn a little bit more.
Right.
And then you have preconceived notions in your mind sort of shattered.
Yeah.
And you see the humanity and the humor in someone, and you feel like you can connect. And I think the Daily Show piece did that as well. And we're hoping to be able to have more inroads. And we're hoping that, you know, young folks in our community, as they're coming up, will more and more enter these fields. Mm-hmm. You know, will be in the arts, will support the arts, even if they're not an artist, and understand the power to change perceptions and connect with people who are different from you through the arts, through mm-hmm. pop culture.
I'm also curious. I know that I've heard this conceit from a lot of people who work with the Sikh community, and this was sort of the conceit of the Daily Show piece, is that it would be so easy for the Sikh community to like throw the Muslims under the bus by saying like, we're not Muslims, so we're okay. And instead, most of the activism, or I think all that I've seen in the Sikh community, has been like, we're not Muslims, but it's still not okay. And like, let's tell you why. And I know that you are honored by the Islamic Center as a partner of theirs, the Islamic Center at NYU, for being a partner in so many efforts. So I'm curious, as you're doing this, how do you navigate like clarifying and saying like, the Sikh community is its own distinct entity, and we need to educate people about that, while also maintaining a very careful, so I was saying, like, also any other bigotry that we've, like, when we get confused with other groups, that's also not okay.
I think it's just the way you said it. Like, this is who Sikhs are. This is what we believe. We are a distinct faith, and we respect all other faiths and those that don't have any. And I think it really is that simple. You know, it would be impossible for us to call ourselves Sikhs and throw any other community under the bus. Mm-hmm. And that is a central tenet of the faith. It's the cornerstone of how we're supposed to live our lives. And it's just so important. And I think people think it's tricky, but it's not tricky. Mm-hmm. It's actually very forthright. You know, we're the fifth largest world religion. These articles of faith are mandated. And we are not Hindus. We are not Muslims. We are not Jews. We are not Christians. We are not Buddhists. But we respect all of their ways of life and those that maybe aren't part of any organized faith as well. We
right.
respect them immensely. So I don't think it's been that tricky.
Mm.
And you know, the thing about the Daily Show piece that I love is I think the message is getting through.
Right.
And is in perhaps providing a pathway for others to also stand up for communities that are subjected to unbelievable hate targeting, and that that should absolutely be unacceptable to every single person.
Right. I thought the piece was also just so good because Hassan being like an outspoken Muslim also just like made the dynamics of the piece amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm also interested in the other campaigns that you're doing, because I feel like often when I look at sort of community organizations' websites, I don't feel like military representation is one that we often see, right? That actually jumped out at me. Like, that's actually a pretty unique issue to be taking on as a community organization. And I know that you've had quite a bit of success recently with allowing for more Sikh soldiers to be able to display their religious garments and religious, you know, the turban, have a beard, and also serve in the military. So you could tell us a little bit about that campaign, because that's definitely a unique one to your organization.
So the U.S. military is very particular in their uniform and grooming standards, mm-hmm. which don't allow for facial hair and don't allow for what they call headgear.
Right.
So any religious headwear, although yarmulkes underneath are allowed. And so this wasn't always the case. Up until the 80s, Sikhs were able to serve with their articles of faith without any issue.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was a recommitment to the grooming standards, particularly coming out of the Vietnam era. And what the military decided to do was grandfather in all those Sikhs who are currently serving but not admit any new ones. And I think it's really important for folks to understand that this issue is not a commentary on U.S. foreign policy, either an endorsement or against U.S. foreign policy. What this is about is employment discrimination. Mm-hmm. The Department of Defense not only is the largest employer in the U.S., it's actually the largest employer in the world.
Right.
And if the largest employer in the world can say, particularly the government, right. You don't look American right. enough, even though they can mask it with mm-hmm. things related to safety or esprit de corps or uniformity, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. So this is about people being able to be true to God and country, that yeah. no Sikh should ever have to make the false choice between faith and the career of their choice, and certainly not between faith and service to one's nation. Mm-hmm. And so we have successfully been able to get over 7 individual accommodations over many years, over as many right. years, and are hoping that we're reaching a tipping point here in a better process and a greater understanding about how Sikhs can serve in the U.S. military and do serve in mm-hmm. other militaries around the world. I mean, even the Minister of Defense in Canada, Harjeet Sajjan, is a Sikh, a bearded and turbaned Sikh, and actually was seconded to the U.S. military during some of his deployments to Afghanistan. And so, it's an employment discrimination right. case. And there have been many others over the years that we've battled and won, mm-hmm. and others that are still in litigation, so I can't right. speak about them. But, fundamentally, they all come down to the fact that there should not be a challenge, or your religious and personal identity should not be at odds mm-hmm. with the requirements of any role. If you can meet the requirements of that job, you should be able to pursue it.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's important to also point out is Sikhs have served in many armies across the globe in the
Absolutely.
Past 100 years, World War I and II. Mm-hmm. I have met many Americans who have told me my grandfather served in World War I or II. In fact, in Cleveland, when I was at the RNC, I met a 2 delegates, couple from Texas, and they specifically came to me and said, oh, we love Sikhs. And the gentleman told me, my grandfather tells me amazing stories about Sikhs, having served with Sikhs.
Absolutely. So and it's more common in Europe, actually, because
yes,
as
right.
part of the Allied forces, they liberated, Sikh regiments liberated some very particular villages
yes.
and towns
and
in Europe.
There are monuments to Sikh
That's
soldiers
right.
in France, in Israel. So it's just these stories that we have
yes.
that are just, they need to be told so people know.
Seriously.
That, yeah, it's amazing. We have these incredible stories that just, they need to find artistic
right.
mediums to either be filmed in other ways. So yeah, I think we're going to find out in the coming years with the successes that we're having with Sikhs, serving in the U.S. Army. I think we're going to see. I think we're seeing sort of change coming, and hopefully
yeah.
the policy is going to get changed and Sikhs can serve without having to get exceptions.
Right.
Without needing a dozen lawyers and
exactly.
180
yes.
days
yes.
and tons of paperwork.
Right.
And
yes.
yeah, that's where we want to get. And the Sikhs who have been granted individual accommodations have served with valor
mm-hmm.
and they've been decorated.
Yeah.
So we have proof of concept
right.
even in recent
right.
years.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot about cultural competency.
Right. So you were just talking about how telling these stories, and we have to wrap up by talking about what is an exhibit and an event happening in New York City that personally I'm very excited about because I've gotten to see some of the pictures and they're really cool. So I'm just going to turn the mic
yeah.
over here and let you tell everyone a little bit about this photo exhibit and what's going
to
be there.
Yeah, I would love to. And we're really excited to be supported by NYU and in this endeavor. A couple of years ago, there were 2 British Sikh photographers who had never photographed Sikhs before, and they began to notice that beards, in London and around the world had become very hip, and that even the man bun had become to be very hip. And Amit and Naroop are their names, and they're immensely talented photographers. And and they have beards, but they have hip beards as opposed to Sikh beards, as I tease them. And they thought, gosh, the guys with the incredible beards are still, misunderstood. So they decided to take photos of British Sikh men and took just incredible images. And we caught wind of it over here, and once they put on their exhibit, it was globally recognized, and thought, wow, they're onto something. They're onto something in capturing the beauty of a faith, and being able to use a different medium to
mm-hmm.
connect with people. And so we embarked on a partnership that has taken us a while to bring to fruition, in which they have photographed 38 sick Americans, men, women in turbans, and boys in small turbans, from all over the U.S., of all different backgrounds, including Captain Sick America. His image is fierce. And we will be putting on a open to the public free gallery exhibit here in Manhattan in the month of September. Again, free and open to the public for 8 days, where folks can come in and check out these images, learn a little bit about the subjects, and sort of weave together the stories, which collectively are the Sick American story. And have a greater sense of what does the turban mean? What is the significance of the beard? Who are these people?
Right.
And so we're super excited about it. The images are gorgeous. The subjects are as vast in how they look as they are in their personalities. So we're super excited about it.
And how was it for you going from activist? On the streets in costume to now model?
Yes, that's the role that I've taken on very hesitatingly. I just never saw myself, still don't, it's weird. I've done a little bit of sort of work, ad work with Facebook and Ad Council. So yes, when the Sick Coalition approached me, I'm like, well, sure, why not? I mean, this is not the one who's project. I'd seen Amit and Arup's work, and mm-hmm. it's
breathtaking.
They're stunning photographs. Yeah. I've seen them many times in many different media outlets. So I'm like, well, this is a great project. And I think it's a great timing, you know, with 15th anniversary of 9/11. I think it's a wonderful time to get to know your fellow Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And images are powerful. I mean, I lived that power almost on a daily basis, where so many introductions, so many projects that I've been doing for the past 3-4 years are because of my image, and then people saying, hey, would you come and
mm-hmm.
showcase your work, share your story? And it really comes down to stories. Once you see images,
yeah.
it hopefully propels you to say, hey, I want to know more.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, it was fun shooting with Amit and Nuru for a couple of hours at the coalition offices. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to actually seeing the final product and all the 38 photos of
Men. Yeah. And the timing's not accidental. I mean, the Sick Coalition was formed in the wake of 9/11, in the hours and the days following, as a crisis response to what the hate backlash
mm-hmm.
that you referenced earlier in our conversation. And so we wanted to mark 15 years with this, with something that would spark a national conversation about what an American looks like, to counter the turban beard equals terrorism
mm-hmm.
narrative that has been so predominant over the last 15 years. And the images are fun, and some of them are fierce, and others are playful. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and I think, either fortunately or unfortunately, so, you know, we see sort of a rising tide of intolerance in certain spheres
mm-hmm.
in America, political spheres. And I think this is a wonderful sort of antidote to that sort of fear and anxiety
mm-hmm.
that's coming out. And you see these beautiful images, and hopefully it melts some of that anxiety away and starts conversations. Because
yeah.
I think more than ever, we really need to engage each other, even though we're uncomfortable sometimes. You have to get out of your comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
I did that as a cartoonist, and I still do at times. I mean, it's not, I still get sort of sweaty palms when I put on the uniform to go
yeah.
out. But I think we need to do more and more, just, you know, get out of the box
mm-hmm.
and just do some creative projects. And arts is a wonderful medium. I mean, be it photographs or late night comedy. It's, you know, it makes a connection, and hopefully, you know, we can get to know each other regardless, you know, who we are, our backgrounds, or atheists, Christians,
mm-hmm.
Jews. It just, you know, there's a lot more in common we have as opposed to what our eyes lead us to believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited about the exhibit. I'm really looking forward to it just based on the few pictures I've seen. It looks really exciting. And for listeners, whoever wants to go, we're going to link to all the information. It's in the notes of the podcast feed, so you can just click on it there and you should be able to go. Thank you both
thank
so much
you.
For doing this.
Thank you for having us.
So fun.
We're going to, whenever you come up with your next, you know, huge, big artistic vision project that'll change the way we think of Americans, we'll have to have you back on.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode. episode of Multifaithful, we'd especially like to thank our guests, Sapreet and Vishwajit, for spending so much time with us and for being awesome podcast guests. For the event information, it is called the Sikh Project. It is at 530 Broadway, which is Broadway between Spring and Prince Street, starting Saturday, September 17th, going through September 25th. The exhibit is free and open to the public every day from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you have any questions, you can find it on Facebook and online. And if you want to contact them directly, it is Sikh Project, SIKHPROJECT, at SikhCoalition.org. And all the information can also be found there. I'd especially like to thank Brian Young for editing and producing the podcast, and to everyone for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please be in touch at spiritual.life@nyu.edu. Please rate and review us on iTunes, and we should be back in 2 weeks with another episode.